Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
As we get prepared for the Word, I'm going to just give you the heads up. It's in the book of Gospel of John, and it'll be in the 8th chapter. And this is a pretty familiar chapter. I've actually preached from this chapter several times. And I want to just approach something a little bit differently this morning in an effort to build upon our experience from a couple weeks ago. And let me say this about our three-day, four services conference thing. We're in the big time because we call it a conference, but I just want to mention something that I think is a very positive thing that happened to us. Obviously, the Lord moved and ministered every night and every service, and it was a wonderful thing, but I want to commend this church and everybody that stepped up to minister with us. There's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that you don't know. The musicians being prepared and ready, and then, of course, the speakers, and then, of course, God coming on the scene and doing the cool things that He wants to do and minister. And I'm convinced, just by the excitement and the thrill and the aftermath of the services, from what people said and shared with us, that God had touched them in a pretty special way, and we appreciate that. But I wanted to commend all those that helped participate in the ministry, because it takes a large group of people to pull off anything and make the atmosphere just right for the Lord to move and minister. And then Friday night, we went to a youth rally here at the church from the Tri-State Youth Director, who informed me that he was, or informed all of us, that he was the youngest state or regional or whatever youth director in the Church of God. I think that's cool, but I don't even think most of the kids there knew what a youth director from a state was all about. They were there just to worship and have some fun. It was a great service, and we enjoyed participating in that. And I think that, even whether they know it or not, I know it's put on by the state. Still, Darren is our youth pastor, and so he had a great deal to do with that. But I think even that is somewhat of an aftermath of the amount of excitement that is in our young people. I think that they got blessed during this time as well. And so we just want to praise the Lord for that. Amen? That God has blessed. But the thing to take note in is that it takes a lot of people, and everybody stepped up a notch, I think, to bring about those good services. And thank God for that. And some miracles took place. That's pretty cool, too. Amen? Gospel of John, I want to share for a little while with you. I never guess how long it takes. Frank, who preached for us on Sunday morning, he came close to breaking the record. I think I still hold it by a minute or two, but he was pushing the mark there pretty good. But I don't think we'll go for a record today. But I do want to share some things with you that I think will help us continue in the momentum that the Lord has been building. In fact, He's been building it for a long time. And think about this. The actual day, the weekend that we chose to do this, special services, was the only weekend we could possibly do it. You know, because after that, we have so many things in our schedule that it wasn't going to work out. And before that, we couldn't get it together because we had other things in our schedule. So when it did happen, did come together, it had to be God, because who could pick the best weekend? And that was the best weekend for it to happen. Everybody was able to be with us and help us minister, so that was pretty cool. So you got to give God credit for all the good things that He did and has accomplished. And we're looking forward to the next ones that we have, where God will show up and do some more cool things. Amen? I love the Lord. I love the Lord, and I appreciate Him so much. The 8th chapter of the Gospel of John is a lengthy chapter, and I'd love to read all these scriptures for you, but I'm going to kind of have to hold it down and just kind of, give you an update kind of thing instead of reading all these scriptures for you. You can read them when you get home. But in the 8th chapter, I want to touch on a couple of scriptures. And the first one would be the 31st verse of John, the 8th chapter. And Jesus' response, he's having a discussion, some with Jews that have become believers and some with the crowd and the Jews that are antagonists and not believers. And now that's good for us to read this in the scripture, that there were those who were for Christ and there were those who were against Christ. And the reason I think it's good for us, because if you haven't figured this out yet, there are those who are for you as a Christian and there are those who are against you as a Christian. And sometimes the people that are against you as a Christian don't even know they're against you. They just don't like you or whatever. I don't know. But those that are for you also need to understand some things and about your life and what's going on in your life. And I think that's part of what God designed church to be. I think Jesus invented church, and he invented it for a place for people to come and to be able to fellowship with each other, obviously, but also fellowship with the Holy Spirit and the move that the Lord wants to move on that particular Sunday. And that's why I think the ones that are here this morning are the ones God wants to speak to and minister to. And that's a good thing. That's a very, very good thing that God created this atmosphere, because you can come here with any burden or no burden. You can just come here feeling good, all things, everything's good, and still walk away with God speaking to your heart and ministering to you. And that is an ultra good thing. And so if you come with a burden and you present it to the Lord and he ministers to you and gives you the assurance that he's aware, he's working, he's going to kind of help you with circumstances or whatever, or maybe you just need a touch of his spirit. Whatever it might be, whether you have a burden or no burden, God is here to minister to you in a wonderful way, and I like that. And I want to build upon that this morning with just a little bit of word. And so I want to begin in the Jesus' response back to some of the people he's having this long conversation with. And Jesus then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Good, encouraging word. In fact, this might be something you may want to circle or underline, because he's actually speaking to you and I, whether we realize it or not. He's speaking directly to us. If you continue in my word, now we've shared this message a great deal. If you continue, it's not just receiving the word and the enlightenment and the blessing and then just go your merry way. Jesus doesn't do anything in your life unless he has a reason and a purpose for doing it. And generally, his purpose for doing it in your life is for you to continue, for to bless you and to continue in what he's ministering into your life. That makes sense, doesn't it? And so what he's saying to those Jews that believe, now you got to remember, these are Jews he's talking to. And I'm emphasizing that three times now, because there's something we want to address about that, which I think Jesus is going to address here in just a moment. I'm not going to read it all for you, but I want to share it with you. So if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So it's not just the experience of the believing, it's the continuing to believe. And there's a reason for that. Because if you continue in his word and what he's instructed us and how he's directed us, your discipleship will be anchored. Your following of Jesus Christ will be anchored. He will begin to develop and build in you that sustainability, that continuability. If that's a word even, I kind of like inventing words, so that's cool. So that continuability or whatever, that intensifies. The more you walk with the Lord, the more he intensifies his efforts to keep you walking with him. Amen? And you shall know the truth. As a result of all this, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, that's a pretty awesome statement, don't you think? And yet, there's an argument with that. These people are disagreeing with that. Some of these are people that are believing. Now, the important thing to remember is, because I want to address something, because when you receive the word, receive Jesus Christ, who, if you read the first chapter of this book, book of John, you realize that the word itself is Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you a stupid illustration. But as I'm talking, my words are being amplified, but my words are proceeding from me. Are they not? I'm sharing these words with you. They're coming out of me, out of my mind, my heart, my spirit. What I'm saying is proceeding out of me. Thus, declaring Jesus Christ the Word, as John does in the very first chapter, very first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, is an indicator of the nature of the word that was proceeding out of God himself, and it became personified. The word is Jesus Christ. And when he was birthed and became a person in that sense, in a human sense, we begin to understand that God's word has now become personified. We can now address this word of God that proceeded and was sent from God. We can now address that word, him, the word. And so Jesus being the word delivers to us something very, very important. If you continue in my word, if you continue in that which proceeds from God, he says this in a moment, in just a moment, I'll maybe read that verse for you, but as that word proceeds from God and we continue in that word, we have this assurance that our discipleship will be anchored and secured, and that we will continue to learn and hear and receive from God as God proceeds or speaks to us. Amen? Is that making sense? So it's not just a preacher trying to tell you to read your Bible, although that's always a good thing. Amen? But when you read your Bible knowing that this is God's word proceeding from God, it adds a greater emphasis on its importance, but it also has a very active ability in your life. As you read it, as you continue in it, as you learn from it, as you grow with it, you are anchoring, or you are being sustained and anchored by that word, of course, then your discipleship is sure. Then if you follow what follows that, if you're following and continuing in his word, you will discover the truth. What is the truth? Well, all kinds of things are true, but the truth he's referring to is that Jesus Christ is the one that proceeded out from the Father, that Jesus Christ really is the second person of the Godhead, that Jesus Christ really is God. And as that begins to grow in your heart, faith grows in your heart, trusting in God grows in your heart, believing that he can do marvelous things in your life and continually wants to do that, then we have less interference with God's hand and his handiwork in us because we become more cooperative with him because we have decided to listen to him and walk with him. Does that make sense this morning? And so when Jesus makes this statement, he's saying something pretty profound, and he's leading into a discussion or continuing a discussion that is very profound, because what has happened is, even with these Jews, I know when I, the very first time I read this, man, I got all excited about this, a bunch of Jews that believed in Jesus. They gave their hearts to Christ. But this discussion with them is an encouragement for them to make a departure, and to encourage them to continue in his word, because the more you continue in the word, the more truth you will begin to understand. Here is the initiator. The very first few chapters in this book, you're probably very familiar with. Nicodemus going at night, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, and so forth. That is the initiator. That is where God begins to move in your life. That's the awakening. That's when God moves upon your spirit and brings life into your spirit. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, your spirit is birthed. Your spirit comes alive. Prior to that, you're living with your soul and your mind, with your spirit trying to be awakened, trying to influence you. Every once in a while, God is able to spark your spirit, and you have a tendency to think about God, wonder about God, maybe even want to know God. And then when you have that moment of awakening, when you say yes to God, that begins the whole adventure. But up until that point, let me ask you something. How many of you, before you became a Christian, read the Bible and understood very little about what the Bible said? Amen? Probably all of us, if we want to be honest. But especially when you start sharing with someone else who's not a Christian, and you start telling them about the Bible and telling them about Jesus and God's love and all the things that you already well know about, they don't understand what you're talking about. And you can speak English, and they can be English speaking, or you can speak Spanish, and they can be Spanish. Doesn't matter how you speak, they still will not understand that. And if you continue in this chapter, you will read what Jesus says. How is it that I can tell you the truth? You won't believe me. That's what he says. I tell you the truth, but you won't believe me. Part of the reason they don't believe him is because that awakening has not happened to them. They have not had that spiritual experience. They've had a religious experience. They have served a religion for a long, long time. They're Jews. In fact, that religion includes the very God of heaven, the real God that's in heaven. And their understanding is, though it's limited, it is still an understanding of God, and is still partly an awakening. They knew who God was. They knew he was the deliverer of Israel. He was the one that worked all the miracles in the Old Testament, sent the prophets to speak to Israel to keep them faithful, but they wouldn't listen. They'd get things right, get the army out of their land, and then next thing you know, they'd be serving other gods. And so it's the same God, but by the time Jesus came on the scene, it had reduced itself to nothing but form and formality. Have you ever been to a church that's just form and formality? You might even accuse us this morning of having a formality. We had a communion service. It's different for us because we believe that's part of our relationship and honoring that relationship and that awakening that has happened in our lives. And so up until then, you don't know the truth. You don't understand. The Spirit of God has to birth your spirit alive and begin to pour into your life the truth so that you'll understand that Jesus Christ is God. He was sent by God to minister to us and to secure salvation for us by dying on the cross, and not just dying on the cross, but on the third day rise from the dead, and then later ascend to the Father at the right hand of the Father, and is there right now making intercession for you. Did you know that? That's kind of cool, isn't it? He's there praying for you and recommending things in your life to the Father, and the Father, of course, is ministering to you through His Spirit. Amen? That's pretty good stuff. But still, the Jews did not fully understand that. And that's a difficulty. Now, let me tell you something about being a Christian. Being a Christian is just not head knowledge. It's not just because you know Jesus is a Savior and that He died on the cross. The history of Jesus is not sufficient for the awakening in your spirit. It's just facts and knowledge. And until then, it's just a story. It's just a story that people wrote a long time ago, and it doesn't mean a single thing until the awakening happens, until you are a continuer, someone who follows after Jesus, and the truth builds up in us. And then you got to fight against all kinds of forces, the enemy, the world that doesn't believe in Christ, even your own nature. By being a sinful person, and we're all sinners, folks. I know that we're called saints in the Bible when we become a Christian, but we're all sinners by nature. Our father gave us that. Father Adam gave that to us, that nature, that change in the nature. What took place in the Garden of Eden was not just eating a fruit and disobeying God. There was a change in his nature. His spirit died. Truly, when you eat this, you shall die. And that's what took place. His spirit died. And now when you receive Jesus Christ, your spirit is made alive. Making sense? And so all this big story that you didn't have any clue about begins to make sense when you realize that you need a Savior, because we're sinners by nature, thanks to Adam. We need a Savior. And so who is the Savior? Who can you turn to? Before you were introduced to Christ, you looked everywhere and tried everything to satisfy in your spirit, which was dead and longing to be alive. You're looking for an answer, that emptiness that's there, that unfulfillment, that complete loss of any kind of a motivation in spiritual things. There's something there that echoes and cries into your spirit. God, I need some. I need to know if you're real. How many of you, when you ask Christ into your life, ask God, if you're real, come into my life? I'll guarantee you there's a large number of us here this morning when you receive Christ, said, Lord, I don't know if you're real or not. I've heard this very same prayer from many people. I don't know if you're real, but if you're real, come into my life. And bam, Jesus Christ comes into their life and shows, yeah, I'm real. I've been real for a long time. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so when that takes place, there's this big awakening. Until then, the best thing you have is religions. Yeah. You have the 3-4 major religions in the world. Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, whatever. I don't know how many are attending it to make it size-wise, but at any rate, it's just a religion. And everybody in the world that's not a born-again Christian, that has not been awakened by God in their spirit, just looks at religions as religions. In the 60s, you know what was happening in the 60s? 60s, we young people were looking for God, didn't know we were looking for God, but we were looking for the answers to life, so we followed the Beatles. And then came Maharishi Yogi, or whatever his name was. And so you had all this Eastern cultural religions influences in all of these Haight-Ashbury and San Francisco bombed head stoners, whatever you want to call them. They're searching for the answers. And then, of course, Timothy Leary said, the answer to know God is to take acid. So we tried all that, and all I saw was a 40-foot bird with fluorescent wings. I don't think that was God. Just a thought. I just don't believe that was God. Saw lots of things, and the cartoons on the wall, all kinds of stuff, but I never found God. And nobody's going to find God in that way anyway. But it's interesting. There was a big search and there was a big revival amongst the, well, they call them hippies, but it was really just the young people looking for answers that they were not getting anywhere else. And they were looking for God and didn't know it. And finally, many of them found Christ. The big Jesus movement that came rose up out of that. And so people were being born again and still not knowing how to live or to continue in the truth or to know the full truth. They had the experience, and that was a high. It was an awesome thing. And so they followed that, but many of them did not get anchored, that didn't follow in the truth and follow in the word and get anchored in their discipleship with Jesus Christ. You see, you can be born again, but you need to become a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, so that the truth can begin to develop in your life. And you begin to understand the Bible when you read the Bible. And the words of Jesus Christ become very clear to us. And so what was happening at this religious time when Jesus came on the scene, it was just a form and formality. And so their claim to fame was that Abraham was their father. Abraham, the father of the Jewish faith. You know what I'm talking about? The promises of God were given to Abraham. In fact, you and I benefit from those blessings because we're grafted into the family of God, and therefore we receive many of the blessings that were given through the lineage of and the influence of Abraham. But when you put all of your confidence in Abraham, you're putting all of your confidence in a man. You're not putting your confidence in the God who worked all the miracles and blessed Abraham and blessed him many times. And so the mistake that is made by the Jews at this time is they're trusting their form and formality to get them to heaven. Because I'm a Jew and I'm related to Abraham, Abraham gets me into heaven. No, folks, there's no substitute. No, you can't trust any other man to get you to heaven. You can't trust your parents, your grandparents, because they were great Christian people. That doesn't get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the enlightening and the awakening of your spirit, the new birth in Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so that's what Jesus is planting in them. And it's a good planting because the big argument that is coming against Jesus Christ is that, hey, we're not orphans and we're not unknown to God. We're related to Abraham, and therefore God knows us and God's going to bless us through our relationship to our forefathers. And then there's religions, not only Jewish has that influence, but there are other religions that worship their ancestors because they were good people. They built a nation. They did all these great things. They tend to worship them and hold them up as godlike. But the truth of the matter is, your experience and your exposure to God is the key and the answer to your personal needs in your life. And I just appreciate that. In fact, it becomes your testimony. What is the great thing that God, how do you know that God has done this? Because of what I've seen him do in my life, I can testify that that's what God has done. Now, whether anybody believes you, does that really matter? It doesn't, does it? Only thing that matters is that you know God touched you, and you're following hard after him. That's all that matters. And that then guarantees, obviously, that you have eternal life. I don't know about you, but I like eternal life. You know, I think about it, I dream about it, I pray for it, and I imagine and all that kind of thing. And you know, this is the cool thing about eternal life. Your imagination doesn't even come close to the reality. Your experience even now is only a foretaste of what God is going to do when we get over to the other side. When we step into the presence of God, and by the way, the moment you leave this planet, you step right into the presence of God. Is that not a cool thing? Think about that, man. Bam, bam, you're right there. Ooh, I'm coming home, Alice. Only a certain age group understood that. You younger people have no clue what that was all about. So look it up. Google it. And so The religion that became a form and a formality became a bondage. We were bound to that. And one of the reasons Jesus wanted to emphasize truth to these believers and for them to follow his word and that would lead them into all truth, with the help of the Spirit, of course, he mentions in another place. The reason he wanted to emphasize that is because he knew the power of bondage, of religion. Have you ever noticed, if you ever study church history, and it's a cool thing in some places and it's kind of boring in other places if you ever doing a historical research of the Christian church. But one of the interesting things about throughout Christian history is that they would form a group and they would build a church, whether Catholic church or a Protestant church or whatever, it doesn't make any difference. They'd build a church, but after a while, if they didn't keep the relationship strong with the Lord, it fell into form and formality. I did a wedding one time over on the west side, kind of a cooperative, myself and the Lutheran pastor. Do they call Lutheran pastors priests? Just pastor? Anyway, he and I did the wedding, and I had to learn very rapidly what to do, and there's a good deal of form to pretty cool. The people I met, no, undoubtedly were Christian people, but what I wanted to mention was the form that they use. I'm not objecting to Lutherans, okay? So don't call your local Lutheran and have them send me emails or death threats. I'm not saying anything against them. I'm just saying I did a wedding with them, and I'm less formal. And if you've ever come to a wedding that I've ever performed, I'm less formal in that. But throughout this wedding, in fact, Christy's here this morning, isn't it? Yeah, well, you know that when we did the wedding over there. So the Lutheran pastor was doing most of it, and I had certain parts that I would do. But when we addressed the Word of God, we had to turn toward the cross, and we would read it, and then we would turn back to the people. And that was the form in their wedding ceremony. I thought it was pretty cool, actually. When I was doing it, I had no idea what he was doing, but he looked at me the first time, and I learned I got to do it this way. And so... because I didn't turn. I just stand there like that when he turns around, and then he kind of looks at me, and I'm like, okay, I learned real fast. When he turns, I turn. But that's form, and that's not necessarily wrong. But if that's all you have and you have not kept your relationship alive, eventually after time, the farther away from the experience, you see, probably at some point, turning and honoring Christ was a very important part of the service. And nothing wrong with it. Very wonderful, beautiful thing. But and I'm not accusing Luther. I'm in deep water here. But what I'm saying is, if the form is what you have, the farther you get away from the awakening, the more formal you want to become. Why is that? Well, he wanted to warn these guys about following his word and standing his truth. Because he didn't want them to fall back into trusting form over experience. Now, we've been accused of being wackos because we believe in a real experience with God. I believe God is, he's not just wound up the universe and letting it go, and every once in a while he sticks his finger in there and stops the gears from turning and does something with humanity. I think God is actively working in people's lives all the time. By the way, he's working in the political scene as well. And other nations and peoples that we don't even think know God. There are many people there that know God. God is not asleep in heaven. God is very active trying to win people to his heart as well. And so as we have that awakening, if we don't keep that fresh, if we don't keep continuing in that experience, we will fall into form. That's what will happen to us. And form means death. If you don't let form be an inspiration, form can be okay. It can be wonderful if it inspires your awakening. Amen? I think it's an awesome thing. But if all we have is that the farther we get away from our original experience with Christ, the more formal we get, the more dangerous it gets of us losing out with that original experience with God. That's why I think that a couple weeks ago, service was excellent. I don't know how many people, I've shared this before, but I don't know how many people came up to me and said, I haven't felt the Spirit of God like that in a long time. What does that say? That says we need refreshing, we need renewal, we need recommitment and reconnection. I think we need to get away from the idea of, hey, I got to go to church today, it's Sunday, church is on, I got to go to church. No. Today's Sunday, it's church time. I'm excited. I wonder what God's going to do in the service, Lord. I'm coming to your house to experience you, to let my heart be and my spirit be inspired. I come to meet with God and connect with God. And that's what church should be. Connect with God's people and connect with God. Amen? Give God a hand. And so his discussion with these folks goes a long ways, and I've got a lot of notes, so I'm just going to have to scoot past. But one of the things he accuses them of, and including these that accepted him, and this is a tough teaching, but how do you separate someone from depending on a religion and have them commit to a relationship? How do you do that? How do you inspire them to leave that behind, because it's not going to do anything to help inspire them in their walk with Christ? How do you separate them? And that was the discussion. And they're making all kinds of excuses and making all kinds of statements about, oh, our father Abraham and all of this. And Jesus says, look, if Abraham was your father, let me kind of paraphrase all this. If Abraham was your father, you'd be doing the works of Abraham. Well, what was the main thing Abraham was famous for? Was it a miracle? No. He was famous for having faith in God. And the Bible says because he had faith in God, it was counted unto him as righteousness. His faith made him right. Does that make sense? As does your faith make you right before God. I think that's cool. So he tells them, hey, if your claim to fame is Abraham, you should be doing the works of Abraham. You should be believing in God, and therefore you should believe me because I, and he makes this statement in the 41st verse, I proceeded out from God. God spoke me. I proceeded from the Bible, and he sent me on an assignment, and the assignment was to show you God. Here are people who have a lineage of relationships with God, and they don't know God when he's standing in front of them. Isn't that interesting? Here's a guy walking around, walks on water, heals people, stops the wind and the waves, has all this power to stop all these things, and you can't make the association that this must be God? That's what he's telling them. If you were Abraham, you'd already believe in me, because I tell you the truth and you don't hear me. This is good. This is good. You don't hear me. And you don't understand me. And he even says, how is it that you don't understand? I'm speaking plain Jewish to you. How come you don't understand it? It's simple to Jesus. And it's simple to you and I if we've been born again, if that awakening has taken place and God is working and moving and ministering in our lives. We begin to understand spiritual things. And we understand them deeper and deeper as we proceed to follow or continue to follow Jesus Christ. Many of you, believe it or not, I know some of you would not necessarily agree with this or make claim of this, but actually some of you are smarter in spiritual things today than you were when you were born again. Some of you, no, you have. You've grown, because you can't know Jesus Christ and follow Jesus and not grow. You must be growing if you're still continuing to follow Jesus Christ. You may not realize it all the time, and it may seem like it's few and far between, but the Spirit of the Lord is moving upon you all the time. And so the argument Jesus makes with them about who he is, in fact, that's his whole point. If you, and they yell back, and hey, we're not illegitimate. God is our Father. They make that leap from Abraham to God. They make the leap in this chapter. And so you see some major things are happening. And in fact, what you see happening is these people who are arguing with Jesus Christ, who believed in him and are still arguing with him, you see transformation taking place. You may not realize it when you read it. You just see it's an argument between Jesus and these religious people. Jesus has arguments with you all the time. Do you know that? How many times has he told you to do something? You said no, and he says yes, and you say no, and you argue back and forth with God. And finally, when you do it, you find out, hey, that was God. Up until then, you're just arguing. Amen? And so they're going back and forth. But look at the leap they make. They make the leap from Abraham being my father to God being my father. And Jesus says it again. Well, if God was your father, you would have believed in me. Why? Because I proceeded out from God. That's what he tells him. God sent me. By nature, I am God. You should know that by the things you've observed. And they would not have come to a place of decision for Christ, believing in Christ, had they not had that awakening. You understand? You need to read your Bible with the born-again experience in mind, amen? And the outpouring of the Spirit in people's lives, because that's what it's written for. The book of Acts is all about how the Holy Spirit now comes upon men in a different way than the Old Testament. In fact, no longer comes just upon you, but he comes upon you and in you. Different, deeper, more powerful. He works on your motivations. He moves on in inspiring you from within rather than having outward experiences only. Amen? Have you ever just woke up, or maybe it's this is a better illustration. Have you ever just been driving down the road and you got Dallas Home playing on your radio and you're just singing along with him? Have you been inspired? Like, does it not move on your spirit? Do you not feel more loving toward Christ, more desirous to be with him, more desirous to hold him up and praise him and glorify? Of course you do. And you should hear me sing and harmonize with Dallas. Man, we're good. Nobody else ever hears it but me, but it's good. I even sang a little bass one time for him, because he couldn't get that low. But anyway, so this argument that's going on is a revelation. These people are making a leap from Abraham to God. That's a big leap for these people. It's like if you were raised, a Shintoist or a Buddhist. And then suddenly somebody tells you about Jesus Christ and introduces you to Christ and you start following Christ. How long does it take for Buddhism to start getting out of your life? Is anybody with me? How long? Probably a long time before all of the rudiments of that religion are removed as Jesus Christ replaces it. So it takes a continuing to follow him. Amen? And so that's what's happening. They're making the change. Okay, well then, if Abraham's not our father, then God is our father. And then he gives them the challenge. This is a very good chapter in the Bible. And in fact, it's very good for you and I, especially if we've come through an inspirational services like we did a couple weeks ago, when God has done some very cool things in us and blessed us and just showed up to do whatever he wanted to do in us, and we let him do that, and great things were taking place. I mean, some real deep spiritual answers were given. God healed some deep hurts and things like that. God did some real deep stuff. And when that's happening, It is not just an establishment of God, who God is. It's an establishment of how much that God loves you. Why do I know that? Well, what proceeds from God? Just words? Or the word? Yeah, the word comes and personifies. He's a person. But what does he preach? What does those words say? What does the word of God say to us? It says, I love you. Pretty simple, isn't it? Not complicated, not religious, not formal, not routine-ish, not so far away that I can't remember it. I'd have to build a stone monument to remind me of it. I don't have to do that. I am now experiencing again what the love of God does for me. If you got nothing out of those services, you should have got this. I love you so much that I'm coming down and touching you tonight. You should have got that. And by the way, that is the cure for every ill that we have. My God loves me. My God shows himself to me. My God blesses me. I'm walking a blessed life because Jesus loves me. And I continue to follow Jesus because he was betrayed and he was whipped and he was beaten and he was had to drag his own cross up the hill until he couldn't do it anymore from the beatings. Someone else had to carry it the rest of the way, nailed to the tree and hung there until he expired. I know no other way to illustrate love than that way. Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. What did Jesus say to his disciples? I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. My God calls me his friend. I don't ever want my exposure and experience with God to be so far away in my life that I no longer respond to the love of God when He touches my heart and my life. I don't mind crying. I don't mind laughing. I don't mind running. I don't mind any of that. Why? Because He worthy of any form of praise that I have in my heart. He loves me. He loved me when I was low life. And He loves me now that I'm a notch or two higher. Amen? How do I know that? How do I know that? Because I see what happens in my life and my life experiences. The troubles I go through, the trials I go through. God is the deliverer of my life. And He loves me. He cares for me. Just the same way He loves and cares for you. Don't ever forget. And don't ever let your experience get so far away from you that you do not realize that your God is your Father. And He sent His Son to deliver us. Amen and amen. Let's stand, shall we? Praise the Lord. I think it's Paul that talks about us being partakers of the divine nature. It's exactly what's happening to us. I don't know how to illustrate it any better that if my father was still alive and he walked through that back door and just kind of came up and sat down here somewhere and you looked at him, observed him, you probably have a pretty good guess that that was my dad because of my features and his features and probably some of the ways he talks and mannerisms. You would probably detect that I'm of the same DNA as this man. Jesus proceeded from the Father, therefore had the same DNA as the Father. Therefore, everything that Jesus Christ did was an effort for you to see and understand God and understand that God is not someone that just wants to judge us. Oh yeah, we're worthy of it. I'm so far from God so many times, it's unbelievable, yet His mercy and love draws me back in. Anybody been there? And that's why you can go down the street, the same DNA is because, you see, we've been grafted into the family of God. We've been partakers in the divine DNA. And therefore, when we walk down the street, I heard another preacher say this the other day, listening to a tape, I think is where I heard it. He's talking about you, people walking down the street, you know they're Christians. You can tell they're Christians. You just know. You can go into a restaurant and watch people and they bow their head in a restaurant and pray for their food. Pretty good indicator. These are Christian people, same DNA. You understand? Same basic nature, changed by Jesus Christ, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are children of God and therefore should think ourselves that way. We should not put ourselves down, nor should we become second-class citizens. We're royalty. We're a part of the kingdom of God and the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's time for us to rise up and be who we are. And that's children of a mighty God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we love You this morning. What a wonderful blessing You have given us today. We've come to Your house, and You have not disappointed us. You've ministered to us in so many ways, and Your Word has spoken to our hearts. Father, you're alive and well, and You're ministering in such a wonderful way in our lives. We just want to thank You for that, Father. And we want to walk in that blessed life. I know there's troubles in this world, but when we walk in that blessed life with You, You can handle anything. We can handle anything, Father. And so we just give our hearts afresh to You, Lord. I just love You. Give my life to You one more time. Father, You be my God. You are my God. And Your Son is my elder brother. And I love You. So grateful to be in the family of God. And I pray that name and declare that and glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
For For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.